Hello. No one's joined yet, but this is a stream in which I play Fire Emblem and answer your questions. I'm on for basically the next hour or so. Then I gotta go. I gotta go make dinner after that. So we're here for an hour. And during that hour, you can ask me questions while I play this game. Doing it during the evening. Or rather, doing it during the afternoon rather than the evening. That's because currently my kids are at Kung Fu. Wednesday is usually a good day for me to do these things. And so we're doing it on Wednesday. Favorite Rancho Gordo bean? I'm a fan of the Humble Pinto, also the Domingo Rojo. Is Fire Emblem my favorite tactical RPG series? That's a good question. I can't call it my favorite, no. I don't really have a favorite. I just enjoy the genre in general. Did I finish my Chrono Trigger playthrough? No. So I was playing the PlayStation PSX version, and I just got tired of the loading times. So I may start another Chrono Trigger playthrough with a Super Nintendo emulator. Yeah, that might be the best bet. Although there's a Steam version I could probably get. I mean, I have luck with all Rancho Gordo beans, right? But the ones I like quite a bit are, the Pintos, the Domingo Rojos. I like the Marcellas. I like a lot. If you were able, would I vote for Count Binface or Nigel Farage? I know who Nigel Farage is, and I would not vote for that guy. That guy's an asshole. Would I vote for Count Binface? I don't know who that is. There is a DS version. Can you emulate DS? I mean, obviously you can, but like, does that work? Because yeah, the dual screen thing, feels like is the challenge. Where do I find the time? To game, basically whenever I can make the time, which means I don't do it every day. I could do a capture card. I could try that out, like capture card. I mean, at that point, I might as well start like just playing my Switch for this, but that's just too much work. You guys, this isn't my job. Because streaming is not my job, my strong interest is in doing things that are the least burdensome to me. And so that's gonna be the easiest possible emulation, which is like Game Boy Advance emulation or SNES emulation or whatever. But we'll see. Someone on the TikTok is asking me if I'm a fan of tofu. Yes. In fact, I have some super firm tofu in my fridge that I'm going to use for some tofu shawarma over the weekend. But I'm not a fan of tempeh. Can't really get into tempeh. I like seitan and tofu, but not tempeh so much. The fermentation is the thing that just doesn't go for me. Yeah, I don't like Satan. I oppose his works. But the food, not a fan. Why stream instead of just gaming? Well, some of it is I didn't get enough attention as a child, and I need the attention of others. It's not true. I got plenty of attention as a child. I do like interacting with people, and because my job is public facing, it is public interaction. I figure, why not kill two birds with one stone? That's basically it. I'm always be hustling, you know. In addition to writing my column, which I didn't write this week because I was just on childcare duty, which is like fatherhood, but like my wife was working at work and my kids were not yet in school. They are now in school. But I didn't have time to write, so I didn't write a column. I'll have something written for Friday or Saturday about, what am I writing about? Oh, it's about like the broken lines of communication in the White House, kind of like inside baseball history, the presidency stuff that I'm interested in. So I'll write about that. And I think next week when I'll be back to the regular schedule for the column, I'm going to write about the fact that the administration is trying to prosecute one guy, and that's crazy. And then we'll see where things take me. But why am I streaming? I don't know. Like I said, I always be hustling. And part of what I think I'm trying to do here is just like build up communities on various platforms. Here's the thing. You know, I'm a left-leaning, depending on where you stand, left-leaning, left-wing, left, left-ish. I call myself a social democrat, but whatever. Black guy who writes for the New York Times. And a lot of people, hold on. Ange, chill out. A lot of people think of that as being quote unquote woke, as me being some representative of quote wokeness. I've been called a woke commissar before, which is pretty funny. Sorry, I just had to do something. Pause. And one consequence of all of this in the business is that there is kind of this weird quasi, I wouldn't call it a blacklist, but like, if you're identified as being woke in that way, then like, you just don't get, people don't really contact you for stuff. They're not asking you to be on panels anymore. They're not asking you to go on TV, that kind of thing. And so I do this in part to kind of have my own thing and not have to rely on that stuff. Like, I don't know very many columnists, you know, professional newspaper columnists who have their own YouTube pages with, I guess for now, a little over 100,000 subscribers. I think it might just be me. Certainly there are people who are part of institutions who have institutional pages, but just like, this is not an institutional page. This is my own thing. Same with my TikTok, same with my Instagram. Like, these are all just my own things. And I do that in part because I don't want my ability to make arguments to the public, to speak to people, to be entirely mediated by the institution in which I work or in the field in which I work, in part because, again, there's like a real kind of, you know, I'm on the wrong side of things, you might say. There's consequences for that. Someone over at TikTok's asking if I'm going to stream Fortune's Weave. I'm not, because that would require me to hook up my Switch to my computer. And although I have the technical know-how to do that, like I could do that, I am lazy and I don't want to do it. So once I finish this Fire Emblem, I actually might do the first Fire Emblem on GBA just because I have a lot of fond memories of that one. And the continued Fire Emblem theme. And I think I'm probably going to play Golden Sun afterwards, which is fun. Someone asked me if I ever have a speaking engagement in Los Angeles. I have. Yeah, I know. Suspicious lack of audio issues this far. I think we got it figured out, guys. Am I playing on hard difficulty? Yes. Any hype for the Star Wars XCOM game that's coming out? Yeah, I'm actually really looking forward to it. What's it going to be for? Like, the only new console I have is a Switch 2. So, do I have any thoughts on Hong's Lost and the way folks are trying to paint the DSA referendum? Well, first, stay tuned for my Thursday video, which I recorded today. Is it my Thursday video that I recorded? No. Ah, shit. I guess it is now my Thursday video. Yeah, it's my Thursday video and then my Friday one. I record stuff two at a time. So stay tuned for my Thursday video, which I'm going to talk about the election. But in short, I think it's silly treating it as a referendum. Actually, to me, the bigger takeaway is the sheer amount of unity post these elections. There isn't really that much in the way of recriminations or factionalism after either whoever wins or loses. And honestly, when you're looking at the electorate itself, like, Democrats seem to be open to supporting progressives, right? Like, that to me is the big story, that there was an openness to supporting progressives in even swing states that just was not there 10 years ago. That's notable. It's notable that it's noteworthy that that is how things have changed. And so I see it all as a positive story. Not every loss is a defeat. Let me say that again. I'm going to look directly to the camera. Not every loss is a defeat, right? You can lose a battle and still win the war. You can lose a battle and still make important progress. Not every loss is a defeat. And so I think that is how you understand Wisconsin. Do I think any election is a referendum? I generally am extremely skeptical of referendum narratives, especially around narrow elections. I think there are ways in which elections are referendums, certainly. I think elections can be referendums. I think you just have to be careful about when you impose that narrative, right? I think you have to listen to what voters are saying, right? That's the first step. But I think elections can be referendums. I urge people not to read too much into things. Not to read any given election as a definitive statement on anything. Now, the consequences of an election may well be definitive, but voters, like, to get a little metaphysical here, electorates are not stable things. They're not stable, solid objects. I have like a pair of scissors here. Oh, some film. I have a pair of scissors here. I know what this looks like. I know what the shape is. I know what it weighs. I know everything about it. I can look at it. I can observe. I can make predictions about it. It's a static thing that does not change. Electorates are not like that. Electorates are dynamic systems. Electorates change and shift. No electorate is the same. The 2020 electorate and the 2024 electorates are different. The 2028 electorate will be different than the 2024 electorate. The interests and factions and majorities that comprise electorates themselves are unstable. They change and shift and morph. And one consequence of that first is that kind of like on a ontological level, no election can speak for the people because the people do not exist. That's not a thing that's real. The people cannot express themselves in an election in some consequential, definitive, final way because electorates first do not encompass the whole, and they're always shifting and changing, and the basis on which people participate is always shifting and changing. And so this like fundamental provisionalness, indeterminacy of electorates means that any given election cannot be read as some kind of final statement. It's always provisional. It's always fluid. And that's both incredibly frustrating, but also that's the magic of democracy. That's what makes democracy work. The recognition that there's always a next time because nothing is static. Was I a Nintendo or a PlayStation kid? I was a Nintendo kid. Someone's asking me if I believe we still have a republic. Yeah, I mean, to the extent that like we can still choose our leaders, and yeah. I mean, we'll see, right? Like, it's all, you know, we'll find out, you know, the extent to which our Republican institutions, lowercase r, are still intact. Were my parents officers or enlisted? My parents enlisted in the military, but my father made rank and retired a warrant officer, and my mother retired a chief, senior chief. Thoughts on the discourse around woke one versus woke two being asked on the TikTok? Blank on TikTok. I strongly encourage you to go over to my YouTube page right now where I just posted a video that kind of gets into this. Is Mitch McConnell dead or what? Like I said in a previous video, he exists in a state of quantum entanglement. We'll know when we see him. Over at TikTok, someone's asking me or saying that they really want a Count Benface style satirical campaign in the United States. I think the desire for having a joke candidate, quote, turn the absurdity of our system against itself is not good. I think we are living with the consequences of people thinking that politics is a game for playing absurdities. I think that's bad. So you strike me as someone who may have participated in gaming forums back in the day. NeoGAF, IGN, what were your haunts? GameFAQs and IGN, although I was much more of a lurker than anything else. The fuck is this guy? Claw. Shame what happened to Advance Wars. What do you mean? The Advance Wars remake on Switch was terrific. I think it's funny how many people want me to comment on Ross becoming a 60 Minutes correspondent. And as I've said to others, we're still technically colleagues. It is not really appropriate for me at this stage to be commenting on colleagues like that. So. I will say it's unclear, Alan, whether or not Ross will actually be migrating to journalism. Barry Weiss, who runs CBS now, has no particular experience with like reporting or journalism. Everything we've learned about her tenure at CBS so far makes that clear, but certainly in her experience as well. And my sense is that what they're going to try to do is make 60 Minutes basically like the free press on television. The free press being Weiss's trash publication. So, yeah. So I think Ross is going to continue doing opinion stuff. That's not good. I have not seen The Odyssey yet. And I see, yeah, the one of the Kushner brothers. I mean, I want them all in jail. What do I think about the discourse around the New York Times' responsibility to hire another conservative, even with the MAGA variety? I don't think I've seen that discourse. You know, my view here is that, my view is that if we can find a conservative without lowering standards for the page, I know a bunch of you are going to say, what standards? But seriously, if we can hire a conservative without lowering standards, I think that would be a good thing. The page should be broadly representative of the views people have in the country. To my mind, that means that we should hire someone who is like very explicitly like a socialist, democratic socialist. I call myself a social democrat, maybe if you want to, a liberal socialist, whatever. But plenty of people on the left don't think I count. Plenty of people on the left think I'm a neoliberal shill, despite not holding any views that would mean that. But I don't have the kind of anti-system affect that I think people associate with being on the left. So we should hire someone who does have that. Right? So, yeah. The problem with trying to find a MAGA conservative is that almost by definition, they don't meet the standard. They don't meet the standard. The Times opinion page requires fact-checking. It requires fact-checking. The argument is over what constitutes a fact. What does editing my columns actually entail? That's a great question. So my own process begins with my remarkable paper pro over there, and I write everything by hand. I also do lots of my research with those books behind me, also ebooks, digital archives, that kind of thing. So for a column I'll write next week, I've been reading a lot of like mid-century political science on the presidency. It begins with research, and as I'm utilizing sources, I collect them. You know, I keep a document that has all the sources I use for quotes, page, if I need to take a picture of a book to have that kind of thing. I write the column, I send it to my editor and my fact checker. My fact checker goes through and first identifies what constitutes a fact, and I have my own opinions about that. And so I also identify what constitutes facts, and I provide all the sources. If I did an interview and I'm utilizing stuff from the interview, I include the audio and transcript of the interview. And then my editor goes through and he's doing a more substantive edit of the piece, like for structure, for argument, that kind of thing. He sends me his edit back, I go through his edit, the fact checker sends me the fact check back, and I incorporate whatever changes the fact checker wants me to make. Sometimes that means like making something a little less stronger, a little more provisional, right, to capture the nuances there. And after that back and forth, which is goes basically like two or three versions, it goes off to the copy editor, who does a much more, does a copy edit. Is being a political journalist just meeting weekly quotas for articles requiring your expertise, or is it based off you? So I am, and re-editorial question, I've had the same editor since I started at the time. So I've had the same editor for 7 years now. We're actually quite good friends. I'm a columnist, right? I'm a columnist in the New York Times, and so I have my column runs on a day. My column runs on Wednesdays, and I have a newsletter that runs on Saturdays. And so my deadlines are on Tuesdays and Fridays, and that's what I produce. I also have been doing more video for the Times, and my deadlines for videos for the Times are Tuesday. And that's to the extent that I have quotas, it is that. I also, you know, try to do as much as I can. And so I'm always doing stuff for the Times. What Scorsese movie would you want to do on Blank Check? You'll find out soon. What about editing? Do I? What about video? Do I do anything? Any of my own editing? So with the TikToks, with the YouTube, with the Instagram, all that. I mean, I've been cross posting a lot. So lately, all the TikToks happen, the YouTubes happen, the Instagrams. You'll know I'm doing. You know I'm not cross posting when the vertical videos are using a different camera. The camera I'm using right now for my video here, which is an Osmo Pocket 3. I will sometimes use that for vertical video. Often we use it for vertical video. So when it's coming from this camera, it's only for the vertical platforms. But if I'm making like 30 videos a month, you know, 25 of those I'm editing myself. And then the other five, if they're long, if they seem a little complex, if they just have a lot of material, I send them over to my buddy Connor Lynch, who is a professional video editor, and he does the edit, and I pay him for this. This is the thing I give him money for. He's not doing this for me for free, but he does those. So he does the most intensive edits, but most of the edits for my stuff are very, I can do them in like 45 minutes, so I do them myself. Usually at night, I'll have a movie on and I'll be doing some editing. Do I have, someone asked me something else. How's performance based when I'm a journalist? I mean, as long as I'm meeting, you know, right now I did not meet a deadline, but generally speaking, I produce a lot. I produce quite a bit. I produce more than basically any other columnist than maybe David French. And sometimes, you know, it varies year to year at that deal. And so as long as we're meeting our deadlines, and then if our work does well, right? Like if it traffics well, if we're kind of good representatives of the company, that's sort of the way in which we're judged. Has Krugman caught up with your sub numbers with his YouTube channel yet? I have no idea. I haven't checked. I'm sure. I mean, Krugman's like legitimately famous, so I'm sure he will have strong sub numbers eventually. You know, I've only met Paul Krugman once, and the one time I met him, I don't think he knew that we were colleagues. yeah, whatever. My Gundam 70, my Gundam 79. And yeah, I've been a Gundam fan since I was a teenager. My wife and I were on a trip and I popped into a hobby shop to see if they had any Gunpla for me to pick up. I want to get back into it. I'm a UC guy and my favorite series is the 8th MS team. But I also like Stardust Memory. And I also enjoy Zeta Gundam. I need to finish Wish for Mercury. I got through the first season. I need to watch the rest. But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it was, the animation was terrific. It's so good. So I need to finish Wish for Mercury. The problem right now is I am watching Legend of Galactic Heroes for the first time. I'm watching the original late 80s, early 90s one. And yeah. Ooh, not good. Oh, good. Yeah, long ass series. I am 100% getting in the Yang Wen Li thought. But if someone mentioned Thunderbolt, I love Thunderbolt. I have them on Blu-ray actually. The one with the pink hair, that's Witch for Mercury. But I really need to finish that one. I want to finish Witch for Mercury. I want to watch the, 2015, 2016 Star Blazers or Space Battleship Yamato reboot. And there's later this year, they're releasing Pat Labor, however you call it. They're releasing those movies, remasters. So I'm going to pick those up as well. They're making a live action Gundam movie. Huh. As long as there's child soldiers and people dying horrible deaths, I think it'll be fine. I want my Gundam live action show. I want the protagonist to be a child soldier whose parents have been horribly murdered, and I want to see people die in the most grotesque ways. I want to see giant mobile suit shells hit someone in the goddamn head. I want to see someone vaporized by a beam saber. I want to see someone ripped to shreds in a mobile suit cockpit. I want to see it all. If I don't get that scene, like the one in Thunderbolt, when three people are vaporized by a beam saber, I'm going to be upset. If I don't get the scene like in Victory Gundam, when that weird little drone shows up and incinerates a father and child, I'm going to be upset. Not Victory Gundam. That's in Gundam F91. Victory Gundam has someone being shot in the face. If the live action Gundam movie doesn't have a young child traumatized by seeing their pilot they befriended die horribly in a mech battle, then I'm going to be upset. I'm just trying to prove that I really am a big Gundam nerd. This isn't like an affectation. I love that shit. Yeah, Brooks has been gone enough from the times that I feel like I can talk about his bad work. Yeah, I haven't seen Ideon, but it feels a bit too much for me, honestly. My 8-year-old games. I gave him my old Switch OLED, and he plays the Dogman game. He also plays Mario RPG and Pokemon. Yeah, I mean, Suella Mercury on The Witch of Mercury is a great Gundam protagonist, not a sad boy. I've got like halfway through Iron-Blooded Orphans and just dropped it, so I need to finish it. But I did like that first half. Okay, what are we gonna do here? I am doing the TikToks with gameplay in the bottom half of the screen to get the Zoomer audience right now as we speak. What age did I let my kids pick up a game? Seven. I let my 7 year old. Yeah. So he's seven. I think about my, like, my parents got me a Game Boy when I was, about the same age. Any of your editors receive $6 million from sponsors? I have no idea what you're talking about. My editor certainly has not received $6 million from anyone. Miss. Oh, there we go. Thank goodness. Progressive tether. What does that mean? Who's my favorite character from LOTR that is not in the Fellowship? Treebeard, obviously. I love the ants. Do I think black voters are more conservative establishment than average? No, I do not. That is not borne out by the evidence. I think black voters are more cautious are a little more, you might even say, jaded, and thus progressives you want to win them over have to recognize that. Yeah, I got a beef Ross up. I need to finish up this level so I can, I gotta finish making dinner. The hell? My fault for taking so long. My thoughts on what seemingly appears to be a political realignment. I think it's too early to say if there's a political realignment happening right now. That's a to be determined kind of deal. I don't know why people are so surprised that I play video games. I'm a 39-year-old person born in 1987. I've been playing video games my whole life. Some of my closest friendships formed on the basis of gaming. All right, my wife and children are home, and so I do need to cut this short. Not finishing this map today, but no worries. We'll stream again another time, maybe on Friday. Until then, thank you for joining the stream. I thought this was fun, and we'll see you later. And the dog, her name is Angelica.